Well, obviously, I've gone right back to the history of sugar, and lollies in Australia or anywhere is attached to that history too, because in the space of about 200 years, sugar went from being magic to being, well, now we're thinking of it as poison.
Yep.
But from what the PhD will actually be is only the 20th century, so I'm going back to First World War and up to the present day, so spanning that century.
How sophisticated were the lollies back then?
I would say there's not a great deal of difference. That's one of the amazing things that really, when I first started, I thought peppermints, marshmallows, licorice, this sort of stuff we've had for hundreds and hundreds of years, and most of those things were medicinal in the first place. They were apothecaries that were making these things. But the major shift in the recent years, or the childhoods of the latter part of that period, is the shift to the sour lollies. That's the big difference, warheads and ghost drops. So,
yes.
You remember those?
I sure do.
Yeah, so that's a sort of the major shift, and people that I've spoken to who are in the lolly business will say that. But if you read Alan Marshall's memoir, and he was a child, I think he was born 1902 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he says sherbet is the big thing, you know. The kids love sherbet. It's just blowing us away. And that was, you know, 100 years ago. And basically the sherbet and the sour is the same taste, and fruit tingles. When I was a kid, everybody liked fruit tingles.
That's well, right, yeah.
That's the same, that something that is happening in your mouth. It's not that you are just doing something to the lolly, but the lolly's actually in your mouth doing something to you. And kids have loved that for a long time, whether it's that sour sensation, or even just if it makes your tongue go black or red or whatever, that's a big deal for kids as well.
It certainly is. Are you looking at things like political correctness? Just earlier this week, we had a major supermarket change have to change the name of their Creole cream biscuits because it was seen as not politically correct.
Yes.
Now, I'm thinking back to the fags that we used to have that changed their name to fads.
Yes.
And there was even the Nigger Boy licorice, which
That's
was so
right.
popular in the 50s.
Yeah. That's the fascinating thing about lollies. When you first start, and everybody that says to me, oh, what's your PhD on? I said, oh, lollies. They just laugh. You know, everybody says, you know, why would you do that? But it actually is the most fabulous way to read childhood and read lots of things about our culture. And the change with Nigger Boy licorice, I think they changed it to Bigger Boy and then to Lucky Boy. That was around about the 60s.
Yep.
But the thing with the fags wasn't until the 90s.
That changed, yeah.
Yeah, so they changed from fags to fads because they just thought, well, we're actually encouraging kids to smoke here by making these cigarettes. And kids were, you know, going right back to Alan Marshall's day, they were using, they had lolly cigarettes that were that white peppermint sort of stuff, but also licorice ones. They were licorice cigarettes. And so it wasn't until the 90s that we thought, hey, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. And if you look on some of the sites online about people talking about lollies, that particular issue will come up every time.
Yes, yeah, I can see why they do. And I was, knowing that I was going to be talking to you this morning, did a little bit of research on that very brand of licorice. And I see that at the Royal Easter Show, it was the second most popular show bag. You know, there was Hoadley's, that was the most popular one. Then Nigger Boy licorice was the second one.
Licorice is popular, and it's been popular in those early years because it lasts a long time and
sure
it is good value. Yeah, but they liked playing with it, you know, that the licorice cigarettes. They were doing something with them, and, you know, kids have... They don't just do things with lollies because they're marketed as something. They will just make things up to do with them. You know, a lot of kids in my era, but even now, girls will get red jelly beans and use them as lipstick.
Of course.
Well, it was a big thing for me because we didn't have lipstick when we were kids, whereas I guess kids have got lipstick much younger today, and so it's not such a fabulous thing to do. But getting back to the drugs and the smoking idea, kids are now using sherbet and using credit cards to divide that up.
Oh, no.
Cocaine and sniffing it up through rolled up money. So you haven't got to actually market something to kids to say, you know, this
to work out something. Yeah.
Yes. And when they changed the name to fads and took the little red colour off the end, kids are still smoking them. You can pretend that you're smoking them.
Of course. Is it true that interest in confectionery has changed after events like the Twin Towers?
Well, interest in confectionery didn't change, but in those kinds of times, the consumption of confectionery goes up enormously because it's associated with comfort. People, the same kind of thing that it did for us in childhood, it still will do for us today. And so even in the low economic times as well as emotional times like that, the consumption of confectionery doesn't fall. It's one of the industries that does better in those kinds of times.
Do you reckon if someone does a PhD in 100 years' time, they'll still be pretty much looking at the same sort of lollies?
That's a very interesting question. I didn't think about that. I do wonder where we can go to from here, but when you think about confectionery having been around for so long and still being such a huge part of our lives and part of the market, I guess we will still keep reinventing the same old things and marketing. It's really about marketing now more than the product, but that's been working for a very long time. Things like Columbine caramels from McRobertson's were a very, very popular product, but he basically just took an old caramel recipe that's hundreds of years old and represented it. So yeah, I guess we'll be doing more of that, but I don't know. What about maybe we'll get more of the taste from other countries coming in?
Like, oh yes, yeah.
The chili in the like South American countries, the kids are eating chili lollies there from when they're tiny. So maybe we'll get more of that. I know just from talking to colleagues at uni that there's more of a salty sort of taste in Asian sweets.
There is too, and the stuff
sour
out of
and the, salty.
The Middle East, of course, with different spices in them, cumin and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I've noticed just in the last 9 months or so, there's a lot more American confectionery being sold over here now, and they've certainly got a preference for that hot cinnamon.
Yes,
lollies like Red Hots and Atomic Fireballs have got really hot cinnamon in them, which we haven't had here, and also the peanut butter thing that comes from over there
is so quite different.
Yeah, maybe our confectioners will start appropriating some of that stuff.
Sure. Tony, it's been good talking to you this morning. I can't remember the last time I ate a lolly, but I have an overwhelming urge to have a licorice bullet.
Well, you go off and you have one.
Thanks for talking to us. Good luck with the PhD.
Thank you, Ian. Bye-bye.
See you later.